Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fichina Karkanal, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. My heart is very full tonight as we talk about this very important subject. Before I do anything, you know, I don't start my show without prayer, so let's just go into prayer. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We come to you right now, humble as we know how, with all that's going on with corona, all that's going on with racism, all that's going on with the brutality, and just the injustices that's going on. Lord, I ask you as we go on the show tonight, Lord, that you decrease me, Lord, and I invite you, your Holy Spirit in me. Fill me, surround me, comfort me, mold me, shape me, my mind, my thoughts, and my spirit, Lord, that I will do your will tonight, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for all those who will be listening in and tuning in, whether they're going to be live or on demand. I ask you to saturate our country right now with peace. I ask you to saturate our country right now with love, your unconditional love. And Lord, as we move forward tonight, our steps are ordered. But we must take accountability for ourselves, Lord. So I ask you to come into each one of our hearts here on the show and throughout the nation. Come into their homes, saturate their hearts, that we first examine ourselves before we go examining others. And Lord, I thank you for things you have done, things you're doing, and the things you're about to do, because everything is in your divine order. And it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. As I mentioned, my name is Fichina Karkanal, and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I have to say that with everything that's been going on lately, it took me a moment to get myself together. I knew that it's a topic that has to be addressed, and I'm no different. It has to be addressed. And I'm not really one to be bold or bashful, but I have to be obedient. And I have to remind myself who is in control of all of this. Right now, nationally, we're dealing with the realities of some of the pandemics of racism, police brutality, injustice, along with COVID-19. People, including myself, are so filled with tons of emotions. I mean, I think for the past few weeks, I've been upset, angry, nervous, scared, and it's downright mad with some of the injustices that's going on right now. But I do know that throughout it all, God is in control. And it gets to a point when a person gets tired or they get sick and tired of being tired, and we get sick and tired. And I'm not downplaying what people tend to do, but there's also a way of doing it. We're tired. I'm tired. Therefore, all I'm going to say is we have the right to fight. Most definitely, we have the right to fight for the injustices. But there is a way of fighting. So we must fight, no doubt about that, but we have to come in peace. We have to do it in peace. God is not an order of chaos and confusion. I commend those who have been rallying and petitioning around our area. I live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and I saw a picture of my brother. He doesn't live too far away from me. We have a police station unit that's there. Of people actually rallying, peaceful, whites, blacks, whatever, in a peaceful way. And that is what I love the most. It's not a white thing, it's not a black thing, as far as coming together collectively and uniting. But let's talk about not just when we think about everything that's going on. I want to bring it on two different levels tonight. When we think about these injustices and we think about everything that's going on, let's start with the inside, with us first. Some of the turmoils and stuff that we go through, as there are times that we have trouble that comes from every side of us, from the front, from the back, from behind. It just seems like the wall is closing in, and it just seems like it's just not going to get better. But I've learned from my personal experience, because, you know, I don't do anything without talking about me or using me as an example. I've learned how to respond versus reacting to things. And I think that if we just learn to do that, I know I had to learn to do that. When I react to things, when something hit me or come against me, I just initially reacted to something. And in the end, I find out after I react to something, I didn't cause a bigger mess. Now I have to repent. I got to clean it up. I got to say apologies. But listen, once it's done, it's done. Once you put a nail in a board and you pull the nail out, the hole is still there. So we just have to learn that when we come against this things that the pandemic is going on in our nation, and also on a personal level where we're being fought against, regardless of it's family, friends, employers, coworkers, we have to learn how to respond. You can fight. Oh, I'm not telling you not to fight. I'm not telling you that, but there is a way of doing it, and fighting in peace will always be the best answer for anyone to do. I'm not going to downplay the fact angry. I get it. I'm angry too. I'm very angry. But in my anger, I've learned, one, how to forgive, because it's not a carnal battle. It's a spiritual battle. That's what I've learned the most. And once you understand that spiritual side of things, things are a little bit different. It comes a little bit different, a little bit clearer. But those who are not on that level yet, it's just one of those things where some people are just ignorant to some things. I'm not saying that other races are better than the other races. No, but what I'm saying is there's an attention that needs to be brought to this particular race that's going on. It really bothers me when I think about, I have two sons, and my heart aches because I'm bringing a child up that's 9 years old in a society that we thought was done 50 years ago, but the truth of the matter is it's not. It's still there. Racism is still there. Ignorance is still there. Bigotry is still there. Not just with white people, with blacks, Hispanics, and all races, and we just have to tear that wall down. You know, most people react to things they don't understand, or maybe a little intimidated by things they'll understand. But it doesn't matter what race it is. In the United States, we're just the human race. That's the way it is. And on the flip side of that, on the personal level, it doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, you're black, you're white, or whatever. We all have issues. No one knows anyone's story. So don't be so quick to judge a cover of a book until you get to know the story. That's all I'm saying on this. So as I move forward tonight, I'm going to ask you in advance to forgive me if I become emotional. This is very sensitive to me, and it took everything I got, and it's going to take me everything I got to get through this tonight. But we're going to do it because it's something that has to be brought up. We can't act like it's not there, and we have to address it. So with that being stated, like I said before, this is Fatina Kirkendall with Revenue. This is Fatina Kirkendall with Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. And if you know of anyone that could benefit from this podcast tonight, please, I implore you, have them tune in. They can call in and listen to the show by dialing 914-1552, and they can just tune into the show that way and just listen, or they can actually log on to the show by typing in www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. I want to say thank you for all the people that constantly email me. I really appreciate your responses. I really appreciate your emails, and I try to get back to everyone. I'm sure I did. Everyone's email at least 24 to 48 hours, and I thank you for that. You're most gracious. I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am for you. I thank you for all the listeners that's out in Barbados, those who are out in Haiti, those who are out in the United Kingdom, those who are out in Ghana, and those who are out in Guyana, and all over the United States. I just thank you for your support and your continued support. I'm so looking forward to the new elevation that Chronicles is coming in. I'm coming up to a one-year anniversary. We are coming up for our one-year anniversary, and I'm so excited about what's to come. And if you are interested in emailing me, you may do so at C, as in Charlie, OAFwoman at gmail.com. That's COAFwoman at gmail.com. You know, I wrote some notes down because when I started working on the show earlier today, I had to write down my thoughts because I was so flooded with them, and I still have so many. And I will be chiming in people as we come in. And if you're interested in your voice being heard, you're more than welcome to chime in to the show. You can text me first. I ask that you text me first at 678-887-9441. And all you have to do is text chime me in, and I will do that. Please give me a moment to do it because I also use my phone to talk. If you don't want to say anything, but you just want to express yourself, and you can also do that by texting just share and then send me the text that you want me to share, and I'll be more than happy to do so. So going back to fight, you have the right to fight, but in peace. That is our topic tonight. You have the right to fight, but in peace. I remember Public Enemy used to have this song called Fight the Power. It was in the 80s, to let you know how old I am. It was one of my favorite songs because it talked about police brutality. It talks about the injustices that we face, mainly African Americans, that we face in our society. And, you know, as we are today in the year 2020, is it 2020? Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. If I'm wrong, please correct me on that. My mind's a little scattered right now. But even now, we are still facing the same thing from 50 years ago, and it just seemed like it's even worse. So when I say that in my 49 years of being a former, I mean, when I tell you my temper is very short. Well, it was. I can't say it still is now. But my temper was very short. And it was easy for me to just tell you how I felt, and I didn't care if I hurt your feelings or not. You know, I'll let you worry about your feelings. But I was quick on the tongue, and I didn't care if I hurt you or if you got hurt. My main goal was to get my main objective across, and that is to let you know I don't appreciate what you said, and you won't even do that again after I'm finished tongue-lashing you. But what I've learned is there is peace. When you come at people with peace, and I never thought I would say this. I'm going to say never thought, but my grandmother used to always tell me, Tina, the meek shall inherit the earth. And when I was growing up, I just did not understand that because I wasn't trying to hear it. What do you mean the meek shall inherit the earth? She would tell me, if they give you stone, you give them bread. She was, if they give me stone, I'm going to give them stone back. In fact, I'm going to take the stone and slap it upside their head. But as I've gotten older and as my life has evolved around Christ my heart has been engulfed in the spirit of Christ, I now understand it because it does. When I allow God to handle things, even in this situation that's going on right now, I am angry, but I'm not to a point where I want to just go and do harm to someone or something. I just know my power. And that's what I'm here to talk about tonight. Power. Let's talk about our power. Yeah, it's easy for us to go out, and I'm not knocking, I get it, but there's a better way. Because as a result of the looting, it caused the other people to wake up and let them know, hey, we need to take some actions. But also remember, the looting also caused others to increase the gun sales that's going on right now. So violence, don't make a good combination. So now you got people who are now gun owners who could be trigger happy and could target any of us at any point just by a mere misunderstanding. We're not going to talk about, you know, the horrible incident with George Floyd and how this was over a alleged counterfeit bill. We just have to be mindful of how we do that. We just have to be very, very mindful. People lie on us. They will talk about us, but we have to know how to react, respond to things. What happened to George Floyd, I'm not going to even downplay it. It was horrific. And I don't like the idea or anyone shouldn't have the right to downplay what has happened when it was very clear and it was done on public TV. But violence is not the answer. It is not the answer. This is not the way to go, people. This is not the way to go, my people. We have to exercise the power of peace and how to fight where it is most effective and where it hurts the most. That's how you power. That's how you attack people in peace. When you start hitting people where it hurts and you start affecting change, and the way that in a language or action that they can understand, that helps us keep our dignity and help us keep our respect, not only for others, but most of all, ourselves. Let's talk about, now, let me just say this. Instead of looting, well, let me go back before I say that. Exercising the power. Just remember, there's power. And one thing we have to also remember, our right. It is our duty to do it. It is our duty to exercise our right. People fought so we can have this right. Don't take it for granted. So the question is, well, Chyna, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Vote. Instead of looting, get people together and make sure, are you registered to vote? Are you registered to vote? Find out where our voting polls are. People who don't have transportation, you get them to the polls to vote. If you want to make change and you want to make an effect on people, then you exercise your power. We got power not just to vote, but our dollar signs too, and I'm going to get to that in a second. To put it on another level, when you have people who lie on you or believe in and react to the lies, you become disappointed. Disappointment clouds your mind. Then you start doing self-doubt as to, well, what did I do? And then sometimes some of us, we start to put our heads down. It seems like the pain seems to be overwhelming and you just want to react because you're so angry. I'm here to tell you to look up. Better days are coming. Go to the polls and vote. I will say this, and I'm going to sidebar for a second about voting. I remember doing a paper studying for my master's, talks about why some races choose not to vote. The number one reason that came up, or the number one reason that was proven, is apathy. Well, my vote doesn't count. That's why I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to vote because my vote don't count. Tell me, Holy Ghost. I think that is the most pathetic excuse I have ever heard in my life. Your vote doesn't count. People work hard for all of us to have the right to vote. African Americans, Hispanics, we fought for the privilege to vote. And when I hear things like that, that really disturbs me, because believe it or not, when you don't vote, you're still voting. that means that who you don't want in the office is going to end up in the office. So my thing is, don't complain with what's going on if you have not exercised your right to make change on it. I think that at this point in our lives and this point in our society, there is no reason why we don't have everybody who's registered. And we don't have any reason why we don't have people like, okay, you don't have transportation. This is what we're going to do to make sure that we don't repeat history all over again. Exercise your right. You want to fight? That's how you fight. You fight in a peaceful manner. I love the rally that's going on right now, like the one that was in my area earlier today. Peaceful. And it wasn't just African Americans. It was whites. It was all denominations. It was the melting pot. I love it. I absolutely loved it. But the power that we have is the right to vote. And there's no excuse why we can't, or there's no excuse why it's not done. If you can go out, get your hair done, if you can go out and do whatever, you can go out and possibly loot, then you have no reason why you'll have a reason why you can't register or you cannot vote. There's just no excuse, none whatsoever. Change has to come. Change is going to come, whether we want it to or not. It's going to come. But will you be that person that do not want to contribute to the change? It's what you need to ask yourself right now. Will you be that person? Look inside. We need to look inside ourselves first. Throughout this process, as I just finally just broke down and cried, I had to ask God for answers and ask God for comfort. But I've learned when each one of us, whether we're black, whether we're white, we're Hispanic, whatever we are, we have to look within ourselves first and take it to God. If you're angry, you have the right to be angry. We have every right to be angry. But take it to God. Don't let your anger cause you to sin. That's what we have to remember. Because, sweetheart and gentlemen, you can't vote when you locked up. So be smart. We can't vote when we locked up. I don't care who it is. We can't exercise the right to vote. So like I said, be smart about it. Let's do it in a peaceful way. We don't have to be doing all that. You know what I'm talking about, the looting. What I'm saying is exercise the right. It was there. It's there. Use it. Don't take it for granted. Just don't take it for granted. As we move forward in this lifetime, and as we move forward for the next upcoming 4 years, you have to ask yourself, are you really tired? Are you really tired of what's going on? And then ask yourself, am I going to be a part of that change? Am I going to do this in a way that's only going to cause the wrong attention towards me? Or am I going to do this in a way that I know it's going to have the attention? And then ask yourself, what can I do to make this infectious to everyone else? I'm glad you asked that too. Encourage family, friends, children, get out there, vote. Power in your vote. There's peace in the vote. That's how you fight in peace. That's how you make effective change in your peace and how you handle it. The peaceful rallies, going to the polls, not just going there, because just remember, we can vote people out and vote people in, but we still have to back them up. They're just the mouthpiece. We have the power to keep them to fight for our behalf. And it starts locally. starts locally, then it starts statewide, and then it goes nationally. Remember that each particular position is really a mouthpiece. It is us as people that gives the power that they need to do whatever. On the national level, we have the Congress. You have the House and you have the Senate. But the House and Senate are voted upon on the local level. Just remember that. The local and the state level. State level. That's how they get in there. That's how the mouthpiece have the power to do what they have, because they have people backing them up. They have the people to back them up. And if you don't like what's going on, then make a peaceful move and a powerful move and go to the polls. Change the mindset. Change it. That's the only way it's going to happen. Change your mindset. Going on another level, dealing with people. You know, this pandemic of in episodes of events, it just caused me to, listen to people, how they're so apologetic about what's going on. I'm not blaming people. You know, not everyone, not all races are bad. You have your good and your bad in every last one of our races. No one is an exception to it. None whatsoever. I think what gets me the most is I understand that you sympathize with the situation. I understand that, you just want to apologize. No, I don't want that. What I want to know is what kind of change you're going to make. If you're in a position, what kind of change are you going to make towards this? What kind of change is going to happen as a result of this? You feel sorry or you're sympathetic, but what are you going to do to change it if you're in a position to do it, is what I want to know. I mean, you can talk the talk, but if you're not walking the walk, then your talk is cheap as far as I'm concerned. All I'm saying is we can't continue to brush this under the rug like it hasn't happened, and we can't continue to act like what's going on is what's going on. But I'm going to say on the flip side, we can't continue to allow it to happen and then get upset when we allow it to happen and then want to do something after the fact. No, that's not going to work. We're going to have to be smart. We're going to have to be smart. We have to work smart and not hard. We have to work, just like Martin Luther King, nonviolent. It worked. It does work. And if you want effective change, then you got to know how to fight the battle that you're in. You have to be strategic. You have to be very strategic. Going on the opposite side of it, when you're dealing with someone who you could do everything you possibly can when it comes to people, but the truth of the matter is people don't think what they want to think. They're going to say what they want to say, and they're going to do what they want to do. All you have to do, as we are dealing with this pandemic as well, and on a personal level, is keep your mind focused on what is right, And just remember, every action does not require a reaction. If you're going to react to something, I take that back, not react, respond to something. That means you've given yourself time to process the situation and know how to come back. I've learned how to process things and ask God to do it. I've learned how to ask God to take control because I know He vindicates me. I know that when I allow Him to take control, the situation comes out better and it comes out in my favor. Same thing with going on with our society. When we put it in God's hands and keep Him first, we can respond to these things. We ain't got to go all out and get ourselves all, to a point where we're harming others and harming ourselves. No, well, you know what we got to do? We got to make some changes. What can I do to be a part of that change and then and activate that power? It always starts with us first. And those who are going through stuff personally, I'm going to implore you, keep your eyes and your mind set on God. You all know that I'm a Christian and I profess the word of God. It's not going to stop tonight. It's going to continue. But I'm telling you from my personal experience, when I've learned to allow God to do what he says he's going to do, that I knew and I know for a fact it is going to be all right. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I have my moments where I'm like, Lord, I feel like I'm a punk right now. I feel like I let this person get away with all this, and I just have to sit here and take it. Now, you have to get to a point where you have to make a stand. Yes, I get that. You do have to do that when you get to a point. But for me, I know I have to be quiet because, like I said, temper and my tongue, two bad combinations. So the best thing to do is for me to be quiet because I've learned I don't have nothing to prove to nobody. I'm trying to get to heaven one day, and I'm not trying to let anybody stop me from getting in to see him. Because I got some questions for the Lord when I see him. I don't know about nobody else, but I got some questions for the Lord. So what I'm saying to you is exercise our power. Exercise the power of having control, self-control, controlling ourselves first. Then responding. Plan. I'm always very strategic in anything that I do. Someone can do something to me, and I'm telling you there are times I want to snap off on them because I feel like they deserve it. But I started thinking, well, what is that really going to cause? Because what I've learned is never argue with a fool. There's no need because if they're not going to receive what you have to say, leave it alone. I'm sure you've been in situations where you have a conversation with someone and they just want to see what they want to see. Narrow-minded. Okay, well, let me just leave that alone because it's not going to go nowhere. So never argue. If it's going to cause more upset and anger, leave it alone. And then you know you need to put that in God's hands because there's nothing that you can do about it. Nothing. But for my brothers and my sisters that are out there who are angry, upset, I get it. I totally get it. But we have to fight. And we got to do this. This is the fight of our life right now. It's not a hard fight. It's not a hard fight. But we have to be smart and we have to be strategic about the fight. If you're facing something on a personal level, you have to be smart and you have to be strategic. For instance, if you know you're working at a job and you got a boss that's special, quote unquote special, you got coworkers that are special, quote unquote special, just remember the bottom line is you need your job unless you're in a position to leave. But just remember, any bridge you burn, you got to one day have to be strategic in anything that you do. Anything that you do. So how do we make change? As I'm going to go back and revisit this. One, we have to contain and control the anger. Because anger causes us to get emotional. And emotions cause us to react versus then respond. Second, so we have to control that. Second, think about strategic ways of how you can make a difference. Now, if I react to this or I start snapping off at the mouth or I put my hands on someone, what is that going to get to me in the end? If you're at work, you can lose your job. If you're out in the street, you could be arrested. Now I'm in a position where, one, I need my job. Two, I need my freedom. Because without it, I'm not going to be able to vote. Just keep that in mind. register to vote if you haven't registered, or if it's not, I don't think it's too late. Not sure. I'll get back on you on that one. If you're not registered to vote, get registered to vote. If you know someone that's not registered, encourage them to get registered. Family, friends, enemies, I don't care who it is, we need to get everybody involved. Start planning, not planning a place where we can cause destruction, but planning support groups where we can get in here and talk about what's going on here. Put strategic plans together and then execute them, making sure everybody's there to vote. And if they don't have any cars, then you start putting a carpool together. That's how you want it. That's how you want to affect change. If you want change to happen, it can change. And if you want to fight with peace. Because peace, God will give you a peace beyond all understanding. Just submit it to him. He will handle it. We just have to do our part. Because when we take it out of his hands and we start reacting, then now we've taken it out of his hands. And there's nothing he can do about it except wait for you to come back, get yourself together, and now you have to start all over again. But he's forgiving, that he is. But in the end, other people are going to hurt for you reacting. There's power in peace. There's power in meekness. My prophet from my church, the church that I go to, he always says, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. I'm a living testament of that. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're going out like punk, if you feel like you're weak. When you give it and just for me to control my tongue and not say anything when I want to so bad, it comes out so much better for me when I do it, when I decide to be meek. It's not what you do sometimes, it's how you do it. Remember, there's a power in peace. I applaud all those who know how to keep their mouth shut when they really want to go off. I had to admire that from afar at one time, my grandmother being the best person for it, because there's many times I know she could have went off and she just put it in God's hands. And I used to look at her like, really? That's all we're going to do? But I totally understand it now. I am like my grandmother's child because she raised me at an early age, at a young age, and she did the majority of my, rearing. And I'm definitely an old soul, but it works. It may not seem like it, but it does work. And there is power. It is power. Like I told you before, I get it. I get why we're angry. I get why we want to react. I get it, but is it smart and is it strategic to what needs to happen? I see the forest. Some people can't see the forest past the trees. I see the forest. That's how I've always been. And I know the best way to create change is to know how to create the change. So I'm going to say this. Before you react to things, check yourself. Get yourself calmed down. And then ask, if I react to this, what's going to be the consequences behind it? And what could be another way I could possibly get this? Or get to my bottom line figure. You have the power. We have power. The power is in peace. And no one can take our peace unless we give it to them. No one can take it. As we move forward tonight, or as we look on, I definitely want to get some, you know, your opinions and just kind of get an understanding of how everyone's feeling at this moment. So if you know of anyone that may be interested, like I said, they're more than welcome to tune in at 914-338-1552. Or they can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. Thing I'm going to say is, or as I move closer to the end of the show tonight, don't get upset when things don't change and you don't contribute to the change. Don't get upset. Don't do that. You have to exercise your right. Exercise your power. Because that's where it is. Vote. Exercise your power to vote and vote. Exercise your right and vote. It is your duty and responsibility to do it. Not only for yourself, for the past generations that fought hard for us to have this right, and for the future generations that is to come. I always take my son with me when I go vote and explain to him why I'm doing what I'm doing, because he needs to understand the power of the vote. I always tell my son, as my grandmother would say, when people give you stone, you give them bread. In the end, it always comes back, and it's a reward for you. It always comes back, and it's a reward to you. On another level, there's also another power we have. It's in the dollar signs. We have to support our businesses. One of the things I love about some of our other cultures is how they support one another. I love the way that, I'll use Jews for an example. They take care of themselves. They take care of one another. Italians, they take care of one another. I want all of us to take care of one another. There's power in our dollars. If you want change, if you want effect besides voting, stop spending your money to other people and other races, businesses, and see what happens. One of the things I loved about old school and back in the 60s is when they boycotted, they boycotted. That means nobody spending their money. And they came together collectively as a unit and made sure that everyone had what they needed to have. They made sure that whatever needed to be done, they came together collectively. You want to make a change? It's in the dollar signs where we spend it. It's also in the voting power. And when we don't use it, you don't want to get to a point where we lose it. Let's keep that in mind. Let's just keep that in mind. One of the other things I want to say is when it comes to the dollar sign, because voting is a part of this as well. Having that right to vote. Having the right to have certain businesses have the same power as other businesses. There's a community from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Everyone talks about the Tulsa, Oklahoma bombing being the worst bombing in the world. There was another bombing in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was called the Black Wall Street. If you're not familiar with the history of Black Wall Street, I implore you to go research it. It's something so powerful. If you don't believe that it can be done, go back to your history because it's been done before. The Black Wall Street. Don't forget to look it up. There's power in our dollars. There is power in our vote. There is power, once again, in our dollars. Make it happen. We can make it happen. We can make a change. Individually, collectively, we can do this. It can be done. We've done it before, and we can do it again. It's just the mentality. We just have to change our mentality. It can be done. On a more spiritual and biblical level, as I was in convocation, Jingen. Use an example of the eagle and how the eagle doesn't run from danger, but he goes in to run from a storm, but he flies to the storm, but he rises above the storm. And we have to be like eagles, and we have to rise above the storm. We have to rise above it. And we can do this. It starts individually, and then it starts collectively. And let it become infectious. We don't have to use violence as the answer. I get it, but it's not the answer. We have to exercise our right, and we can do that. In our voting power and in our money power. It could be done on a personal level. It could be done on the spiritual. On the spiritual level, you don't have to flip or you don't have to kick chairs over or possibly punch somebody in the face or whatever. No, you ain't got to do all that. Mm-mm. There are other ways of handling it. Put it in God's hands. It may seem like you may be soft. It may seem like you might go out like a punk. But in the end, you don't want to block your blessings because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Ain't nobody worth that. It's not worth it. Going back to, I was reading the scripture today as I was doing my reading in my devotional, and it talks about exactly what we're talking about today, you know, when the walls are closing in, when the enemy is trying to suffocate us and surround us or whatever. And it comes from Luke 21st chapter, 28th verse. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Let him fight the battle. Exercise the right to vote. Be cautious of where your dollar signs are going. Start individually because not every person is a bad person. You have to judge a person based on that individual, not because of the cover on the book. Just remember that because there is no race that doesn't have some type of racism in there. Just remember that. And even as Christians, we have to be mindful of how we judge people based on what we don't know. We judge people based on what we don't know, but you don't know the story. I remember being in college, and I remember my brother expressing about a young lady in college and said that she had certain behaviors and called her out a name. And I said to my brother, have you thought about talking to that young lady to find out why she's like that? You could be the instrument that God is using you to bring some light to that lady and to pull her up. Don't be so quick to judge someone, because I too was just like her, and you already know my story. So just be careful. Treat her or treat that person like a gem. When it comes down to what's going on, Corona definitely caught us off guard, but we have to exercise wisdom and prayer. Make sure we understand. You can use all the prayers and you can be a Christian and say, well, God got me. Yes, he does. But he also gives you wisdom, and you must exercise that as well, because you can go out there with the armor of God and say you're doing this and doing that, and then you're not exercising wisdom and then wondering why you didn't caught COVID-19, because you're not exercising wisdom. So it goes hand in hand. When it comes to the racism, when it comes to the ignorance, when it comes to the brutality, we can fight. We definitely need to fight, but do it in peace, because it's the most effective way of handling things. And when things seem bleak, things seem like they're not getting anywhere, look up. Look to the heavens, look to God or your higher being, whatever that higher being is, mine is God, and know that he sees, he hears, he knows all things, and change is going to come. I promise you that. Change will come. But the question is, what are you going to do for that change to come on earth? If you don't want a repeat of history, then what are you going to do to make sure that that history doesn't repeat itself? Take it to the polls. Get to the polls. There is no reason for anyone to say, I did not vote. Just remember, if you don't exercise the right to vote and you don't vote, then you don't have a right to have an opinion about what's going on in the society that we have today. Because the power that you have to take to remove the situation, you forfeited it for whatever reason. Your vote does matter. Your vote does matter. Your vote does matter. When I did that report and I looked at the numbers of how certain race did not vote, it is just appalling to me to know. I'm sorry. We have a right and don't exercise it. All because we have this false misconception that it doesn't matter. I'm even going to address the ones who are apathetic right now. Even if you don't think it matters, go out there and vote anyway. Go out there and vote. Because like I said, when you don't voting, you're still voting. That in mind. When you don't vote, you're still voting. On a personal level, I've learned if I can avoid a fight, if I can avoid, I won't say confrontation because I don't mind confrontation, especially if it's being done in peace. If I can avoid foolishness, I'm going to do that. because, one, I'm not going to get myself all riled up. I've had 2 heart attacks. I'm not trying to have a 3rd. I'm not going to get myself all bothered because, like I said, if it's one of those situations where you know that your conversation is not going to go anywhere, there's no need to bother yourself. You put that in God's hands because He has it. He has it. And as long as you do your part, nothing. God is not going to take that away from you. He's not going to take it away from you. We have the power. We have the power of choice. We have the power of peace. We have the power to vote. What side will you be on? This is election year. What side would you be on? Not just the national level. Please don't be misconceived as it's just the national level. No, it's the local, state, and national level. It is a chain reaction. Remember that certain positions are just mouthpiece. They don't have any power without the state level giving them power that they need. Where are you standing tonight? You have the right to fight. You have the right to fight. We have the right to fight. But it has to be done in peace. But we must fight in peace to get the most change, to get the effective change. Change will come. What side of the fence are you standing on? Are you so upset or so angry that you can't see the forest past the trees? Then guess what? The enemy has already won. And you know what he's saying? I got you. I got you. Because he likes chaos and he likes confusion. And that's what's going on now. Don't be deceived and distracted. Don't be deceived and distracted about what's going on. Your mind needs to be focused because nothing is going to stop me from being at the polls June 9th. I didn't want to mail in my ballot. I want to be there because I want to know my vote got there. That's what I'm going to be doing. What do you choose to do? State of Georgia, South Carolina, New York, North Carolina, California, what are you going to do? My name is Fachina Kirkendall. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. This is a little totally different topic on what I normally talk about, but I couldn't let this go without addressing it. We have to address this. We can't sugarcoat it. We can't sweep it under the rug. It's something that needs to be addressed. We have the right to fight, but we have to do it in peace. Just remember that, whether it's nationally or personally, you have the right to fight peace. My name is Fachina Kirkendall. We're Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I want you to know that God, I love you, but God loves you more. And remember, meekness is not weakness, it is strength under control. Thank you, Prophet D.A. Williams. You have a good night.